Our next speaker is Victoria Quinn. She's the Senior Vice President of Programs for Helen Keller International and has more than 25 years of experience in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, designing and managing complex and large-scale nutrition and maternal child health country programs and regional intervention. She is a respected international expert on nutrition policy and advocacy, infant and young child feeding practices, micronutrients and women's nutrition practices, and has spent 16 years living and working in Ghana, Kenya, and Malawi, including working at UNICEF as a regional coordinator of multi-country nutrition policy. So I welcome Dr. Quinn.
Bonjour. That's the extent of my French. But I've been made to feel so welcome here during this visit to Montreal. I just want to say a hearty thank you to McGill and to the Dean for inviting me so that I could speak about some of Helen Keller International's programmatic work on the ground. So a big thank you. And also just to note that it's a real pleasure, and it's really exciting to come to a meeting like this today where you have such an eclectic group of people. We have the policymakers and programmers of tomorrow here with the student body from McGill. We have faculty. We have government representation, donor representation, NGO representation, private sector representation. And I think this sort of cross-cutting dialogue is really, really important for us to come to some solutions to some huge problems that we face. Now, I didn't know I was following Noel, and he's quite an act to follow. I have a few jokes, so we'll see. But certainly, I was sitting having dinner last night and thinking through some of what David Nabarro had shared with us on Tuesday night. And really, I wanted to present the human face of food insecurity, hunger, and undernutrition. So I've added actually two slides to my presentation. And often, the chronic malnutrition we find in countries, the poorer countries of the world, is hidden because all the kids are malnourished. And here you have shots of three little boys. The two boys on your left and in the center are the same age, but obviously the one on the far left is chronically malnourished. He's stunted, just as Noel, who was describing. He's too short for his age. The little lad on the right is appropriate for his age. He's 4 years old. Essentially, the malnourished seven-year-old resembles the same height as the well-nourished four-year-old. If we jump continents and we go over to Difa in a very poor part of Niger, this is a photo I took. Here are two little sisters. The little sister on the right is 3 years old. The little girl on the left is only 5 months old. They're essentially the same size. So this is the human face of what we're discussing when we're having our meeting on food security, agricultural production, water, and nutrition. The costs in terms of height, one study that I've been involved in, poor children in communities, rural communities in Malawi, were by the age of 2 years, 4 inches shorter than their wealthy cousins in the city. So this is really what we're talking about is the end result of some of these inadequacies. Okay, jumping right over to what I'm supposed to talk about, I'm going to share with you feet on the ground. We're going to get into the weeds. We're going to look at one of the intervention programs that tries to actually make a link between agriculture and nutrition. Water comes into the story a little bit, but really my focus is on how do you actually make those links on the ground when you're programming. I'm going to start off with a description of Helen Keller International's Homestead Food Production Program and give you some results today, to date, because we are in a university setting, so I thought that would be of interest. Then I'm going to derive some lessons learned for how we can be pragmatic in designing programs in the future that do have a positive impact on nutrition. I'm a realist, so I've identified some key challenges, and I'll have a couple of take-home messages. First of all, we started off a small pilot of 1,000 families, mostly headed by
well, represented by poor women who were the pilot's participants, way back 20 years ago in Bangladesh, where we were looking at improving dietary diversity in order to target the problem of vitamin A deficiency. And the findings from that pilot were very encouraging, and to this day, 20 years later, we are covering, or we've been active in at least half of Bangladesh, and I'll be showing you some total coverage figures later. First of all, we called the program home gardening. A lot of people talk about kitchen gardens, home gardening. But in fact, over time, when it was discovered scientifically that some of the micronutrients in plant foods were not fully available, such as the beta carotene in some plant foods was not bioefficacious to be converted into vitamin A, we knew we had to add animal source foods to the mix, and we heard some of these points yesterday in some previous presentations. So we don't talk about home gardening, we talk about homestead food production. Now, the objective of the model very much is to improve the nutritional status of vulnerable members of low-income families, particularly through the home production of micronutrient-rich fruits, vegetables, small animals, and poultry. Until recently, the focus was very much on improving dietary diversity and addressing micronutrient deficiencies, and was not on overall child growth. But today, and I'll go into this in more detail, we've enhanced the model, and we want to have a much bigger impact on child growth in terms of incorporating infant and young child feeding alongside of the micronutrients, as well as addressing some issues regarding dietary intake for pregnant lactating women. So where has the program been? So far, it's been very much tested out and gone to scale in some areas of Asia, Bangladesh, Cambodia, Nepal, and some areas of the Philippines. We've just taken the model to adapt it to Africa. We're doing a new program in Burkina Faso, working with IFPRI and some other local partners. To date, the cumulative coverage has been close to 1 million families directly have been reached. Most of these have been in Bangladesh. That represents about 5.5 million people have been directly reached. There are many, many, many more who have been indirectly reached. Who do we target? Primarily women farmers from poorer households. How do we do it? We work through NGOs and provide support to these households for about 3 years. Thereafter, the local NGO will continue to support households for another year or so before the households are on their own. We'll look at some sustainability data in a few minutes. The program is designed using existing community structures to the extent possible in establishing what we call village model farms, which are sort of demonstration plots, around which farmers' groups or women's groups, we call them a variety of names, are actually formed, and it's through these groups of women, primarily, that the agricultural extension services and education and the nutrition support are delivered. So again, just to reiterate, we're integrating home gardening with small animal production, poultry fowl production, in some cases fish farming. And one of the key points is the year-round production. Part of the food insecurity nexus is instability of food throughout the year. So that's one of our objectives, is to have year-round production of nutritious foods. And as I've mentioned, there are many, many variations on this theme, depending where you are in the country. The program could actually look quite different. The types of supports, in some cases chicks, either improved varieties or sometimes local varieties are better, fishlings and some horticultural inputs, vaccines for poultry, animal fodder, of course, training in farming and animal husbandry, and also some help in establishing links to marketing markets and other resources. On the nutrition side, before the focus was very much more of a didactic nutrition education support, only on dietary diversity. But with the new enhanced model, we've incorporated the full Monty of nutrition behavior change that's looking at essential nutrition actions, which are pretty much what we saw in the 2008 Lancet Nutrition Series, as well as building up much stronger links to local health facilities for health care and for sanitation and related to that. We don't implement, HKI doesn't implement. We develop at the capacity of local partners to implement, and so we work through local NGOs in this case, and we've worked with over 200 to date. We feel local NGOs really help to ensure the sustainability for the long run. And the communities are very much involved through the assessment, analysis, and action, the AAA cycle, to ensure that it's their project and they will take it forth in the future. In terms of partner engagement, just to mention, households also contribute what they can, building the chicken sheds or providing some of the feed or fodder. This is just a little schema to show that in any one district, we might be able to set up to 20 village model farms, around each of these farms between two or three groups, and around each of these groups, within each of these groups, about 20 households. So just to give you sort of the ratio of how we implement. Here are some photos. This is a woman in Bangladesh. She's helping to manage a village model farm. We use organic techniques, and our training is so good we get the cows to use the pots. We practice appropriate technology, and certainly water and irrigation is a key issue that varies from location to location. This is a shot I took just a year ago in Cambodia. This is a shot of a village model farm nursery and some of the seedlings getting ready to be distributed to households. Emphasizing the focus on women. Women are central to this project approach. And here are some of the foods that were used for a child nutrition demonstration, illustrating the link with the local health facilities and working closely between agriculture and health. Here are immunizing some very unhappy-looking chickens, because it's very important for the egg production. And egg production is a very key issue for us, especially in Bangladesh and Nepal, not just for family consumption, but also for income. And also, here's a photo illustrating the links with nutrition behavior change and with local health facilities. Some results. Well, first of all, we were very pleased a year ago that the IFPRI-led, Gates-funded, Millions-fed initiative identified Helen Keller International's program in Bangladesh as one of the few programs that's had a demonstrative impact on food security. And quote-unquote, they said, sufficient evidence to conclude that homestead food production is improving household food security, in some cases nutrition and some other intermediary outcomes. What I thought was really surprising is from that review and from some other reviews, there are very, very few programs actually out there that have been documented to have been successful. So the field is literally wide open for more groups to test out different program models, but also to document results. Some of the results I'm going to skirt through to illustrate. This is an evaluation that was done that looked at control families and families that were active participants at the time of the evaluation, and at families that were former participants who had been out of the program for 3 years. And you can see that even those families that had been out of the program for a few years still had higher year-round production compared to control, and so did the active participants. But across the board, that we have greater crop diversification, greater production levels, and better consumption levels for the participants, both current and former. Here's a graph that shows by the type of garden, and the goal of the program is to get developed gardens, which are plants planted in rows that produce year-round production. And so when we get a family up to that level of a developed garden, then we see not only increased production, but we see an increased number of varieties of food and increased child consumption of those diverse foods compared to those family that don't have developed gardens. Here we have some information on night blindness for those families at the far right who have home gardens and poultry. There's a much lower level of night blindness compared to those families depicted on the far left. There's been some results on anemia improvements, though the data are a bit scattered, but certainly we can say in Nepal and Cambodia and children, there's been improvement in terms of reducing anemia. And the same for non-pregnant women in especially Bangladesh and Nepal. We've been able to measure improvements. We've seen income increases for households that have participated in the program. We've seen women have judged their own role in their households and their families to have been strengthened by participating in the program. So we see this as very much an empowerment for those women. We looked at, in all four countries, what households were doing afterwards, and 95% of past participants were still practicing those improved home gardens and small animal husbandry factors well after the program was over. And a rough estimate of cost by taking all the cost was about just less than $8 for a family to participate in the three-year period. It's far from perfect analysis, but it gives you a ballpark estimate. Some key considerations for designing programs in the future. Well, there was an excellent review by Leroy at IFPRI where they looked at about 40 agricultural programs and tried to decide which showed impact or not, and some of those were HKI's programs, and fortunately our programs were showing impact. But Leroy said that programs promoting home gardening and animal production are likely to increase production, may increase household consumption and individual intake, but may have little or no effect on children's nutritional outcomes unless the nutritional inputs are revisited and strengthened. And he identified the poor program design of many of these programs, as well as weak monitoring and evaluation systems. So coming back to the diagram that Marie Ruel gave yesterday, the UNICEF conceptual framework, really we have to be emphasizing food, care, and health together in programs in the agricultural sector if we're going to have nutritional outcomes and impact at the end of the day. It's essential. Our original model was looking at mostly year-round production and consumption and increased household income, but with the new enhanced model, we're focusing a lot more on the care and the health aspects of our programming. And this complicated-looking diagram is one way where we've delineated the program impact pathways on what the inputs are and what we expect the outcomes and the impact to be. So this is guiding our program design and guiding our monitoring and evaluation design as well. And the yellow boxes just signify how we've really been addressing much more fully the Lancet cluster of nutrition actions that have been identified as those that will make a difference. So we have the food, we have the health, and the care aspect. And of course, project monitoring and evaluation, which is absolutely critical. Future challenges. One of our biggest challenges now is we have to document the new model to see if indeed it does have an impact on child growth. And part of that documentation could very well include questions such as Noel was asking in the previous sessions in terms of the importance of water and sanitation, amongst other things. We need to document this model, and we encourage other people to document their models as well. And we need to unpack the black boxes to understand how the program works and how we can take it to scale in a cost-effective manner if it does work. And we're engaging on this with IFPRI. We've actually are now adapting the program to Africa, I mentioned, and we have USAID funding to do so and have tested it out in Burkina. But one of our big challenges is water. Another challenge is weaker government infrastructure and very many fewer NGOs through which we can work. But the opportunities, Helen Keller International, we always take challenges and turn them around. There's also some great opportunities for marrying our orange flesh sweet potato work with the homestead food production work. So we're finding this as one exciting venture that we're going to be exploring. For the water aspects, we're testing out drip irrigation, and we are testing this in the Burkina program. Is too early to tell whether it's cost-effective or if it's actually going to work. I have chickens too, Noel. Mine are healthy chickens and happy chickens. And I have three chickens, but only two messages. Food, care, and health. We can't forget this in our programming when we're trying to make the links between food security, agriculture, and nutrition, and women. We have to design these programs that actually empower women in their important roles as primary food producers, as gatekeepers of family welfare, and certainly as a gatekeepers of their children's nutrition and health. And as we're designing the program, we have to keep a sensitive eye to the women's control of resources, but also how these programs may or may not impact on time allocation and the either pluses or minuses that might have for child care and for nutrition. So we want to basically do no harm. And I've taken that conceptual framework that Marie and I have both showed, and I've actually put in the various places where women's role is really important right across the board in terms of the food, the care, and the health. And I'd just like to thank the various groups that have supported us in this work, and thank you for listening.